just to hear the sound of fellowship. It's a wonderful thing. And now you guys have me all messed up because you all changed. You're supposed to be back there. You know. And the other Gillenbergs or Morrisons are supposed to be over there. And Pat, I'm glad you're obedient. Finally. JD, I'm glad you finally trained him well. He's listening.
No, he must coerce to entrance. He must be pulled into it.
So like I said, there's going to be a purpose to this, I hope, and I hope I can get the point across. I hope I can communicate it well enough. But who here likes change? Okay, Pastor, I'm in trouble. I just upset your whole church. I've got one person in the whole congregation that likes change. So. No, change, movement. We've all, for the most part, have changed. And, from a pastor standpoint, coming up here, I'm sure Pastor Troy and Lenny and everybody can relate to this, is you know who's coming to church and who's not coming to church because we all sit in the same spot. So at a glance, you can just tell, hey, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's not here. And so that's a little pastoral secret that I just let out for you guys. And anyway, let's pray. So, Lord, we do. We just thank you so much for today, and we thank you for this celebration of mothers. And, Lord, what a wonderful gift it is that life givers just have a heart, Father, that you've given them to care and to love their children, to love their husbands, to love the family, to love their homes, and be those special, special people that, Lord, you've created and designed them to be. And Father, I pray for the ones that I know you just have a heart for, the ones that I know so dear in their heart want to be a mom, but maybe they're not yet a mom. Or maybe they can't be a mom, but Father, I know that you love them and you care for them just as much as well. And there's things that I know that you have store for them, Father, the love that they get to share with others. And Father, it may not be their own children, but I know there's always opportunity and there's always places that, Father, a mother, that you, Father, will pour out through them a love that only a mother has for children. So, Lord, we praise you, we give you the glory in your precious name. Amen. So in Hebrews 13:8 it says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who gets to change? Good answer. I like it. And so as you can see, there's a tension that comes through God's design, who we are, and the transition and transformation of change in our life. And I'm not talking about money, but I am talking about the things that God gets to show us, and he wants to show us, as a loving father always would, is that he has a plan for us. And in that process of us coming to know who he is in our lives, change is inevitable. We will transform according to the process of how much we allow him to change us. Because we are always transforming to his image, correct? Because we're created in his image. And so in that, through Hebrews 13:8, it says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we agree with this truth? It's the Bible, right? And so we agree with God that he is the same, and so I get to change. I don't like to change for the most part. You know, I like my routines. I like my habits. And leave them alone. Thank you very much. But we all serve a God that loves to see us transformed and changed and bring us to a new understanding of who we are. And there's always something that always intrigued me about God's kingdom. God's kingdom, in the mindset of change, is that there's something in it that's filled with his love and with his grace, with his patience, with his kindness. The problem that I struggle with it at times, he doesn't ever give us, speaking personally here, he doesn't ever give us chapter and verse of what it's going to look like, where we're headed. True? So we get to take a step of faith. because the scripture says that God is trustworthy. And I want to share something a little bit different here on Mother's Day, but I want to speak a little bit about my father. And there's one person in this room that knew my father really before his transformation, and that's Doug. Doug didn't know him pretty well, but our families were raised together. I was in the same class as his brother. And I want to speak a little bit. I want to share a story about my father. And it's probably one of the most transformations that I've seen in a human being in my life. My dad, I'll give you a little bit of the background. My dad grew up in the backcountry of Montana, not really raised by much influence from the parental guidance standpoint. His mother would be on the verge of today, be classified as schizophrenic, bipolar, all the above. I mean, I remember times as kids that she would call him on his birthday. The problem was his birthday was 6 months ago. That type of relationship. So he grew up in that type of environment. His real father was killed in a horse riding accident when he was about 4 years old. So he grew up really without his own father. He had a stepdad, eventually came into his life. He left home at 13 years old. He worked on a ranch to pay for his rent to stay there. He was a high school dropout by the 10th grade. He was married with three children by 21 years old. Remarried and had six more children in his lifetime. But fast forward to the age of 58, and he was diagnosed with colon cancer. Battled that for a couple years. Then he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Battled that for a couple years, you know, making progress, doing well. Then he was diagnosed with diabetes, went through a process of almost going into a diabetic coma, not realizing he was diabetic, and suffered drastically from that. And then was also later on in his life was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. So with that being said, through all these challenges, through watching him deal with one diagnosis after another over a 10-year period, I saw my dad start to change. And from a young boy's perspective, this is my dad. My dad was a very self-made man. He was very strong, very, hey, you know what, pull up your bootstraps, get it done. And that's what we grew up with. That's what we grew up around. That's what we were taught as children. But I saw him change. He had no idea what was going to happen from these diagnoses. So like I asked earlier, how many of us like change? But when you're faced with something like my father was faced with, where he had this diagnosis, and in this diagnosis, you don't know what your future is going to hold. And for 10 years, my dad went through this process with doctors, and the doctors were just amazed of why he was still around through this period of time. Because realistically, these type of diagnosis and to the severity that he had these conditions, he should have passed away within a couple years. That's how bad it was. That's how grave it was. But I watched my dad go through the process of learning what change outside of his control was all about. And it transformed him. I really believe, just watching him, that going from a man that was, you work hard and you just do the right thing. That's how we were raised. Those are the two principles you live by. Work hard and do the right thing. I did get the chance after one of his surgeries to share Romans 8, 12 through 17. I want to read it to you real quick. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Amen. This scripture really spoke to my father during the season of his life. And it was really the foundation of his transformation. He was facing his mortality through this process. And I asked him one day, I said, "Dad, you know, what makes you take this stance with what you're facing?" You know, knowing that he was this self-made man, knowing that he pull up your bootstraps type of guy. And he chose. He said to me, he said, "Son," he said, "I can preface it in one word." He said, "I didn't really look at this because I had fear. I had fear of what it might look like if I really faced the things I really had in my mind, had in my heart at the time." And when I read that scripture to him, I had the wonderful privilege of leading my dad to Christ. Amen. And in leading him to Christ, he found something new. He found hope. He found these things that, because the scripture says, perfect love casts out all fear. And so when he really found the love of Christ in his life, he started this amazing transformation. And like I said earlier, it's one of the most, I guess, one of the greatest transformations I've ever seen a person go through. And instead of bitterness, he chose love. Instead of anger, he chose humility. Instead of why, or asking the why question, he asked the what question. Which to me was amazing for a new Christian. I'm like, wow, that is huge. That shows maturity beyond my understanding. And I really believe that the Lord, and that's why I said earlier, I really believe that the Lord, there's a place in God's kingdom when we're willing to change, and change for the embracing of what He has for us, and to really maybe not understand it, but by faith we embrace what He has for us. God shows up with His grace, with His love. There's something special with His kindness. There's just something that God does, I think, supernaturally, that transforms us. It was through this transforming season that my father went into this place of, what is this all about? He started to ask a lot of life questions, which I knew he had to himself, because I believe we all ask those questions, but who we share them with is really what's most important. And when they really start being revealed to us, then things in us start to transform. Because the people around you who love you and care for you and want the best for you really are able to engage into the relationship and the journey that God has you on. That's what I love about fellowship. Is that when we get to fellowship together, like this morning, and I heard all the chatter and heard all the connecting going on, and now you're in different places, what God's doing is, yeah, we're two or more gathered, God's with us. But in that process, I believe there's so much greater things that we can embrace and that we can have a part of our lives if we really understand what relationship and fellowship is really all about. My dad became a man who really was seeking God in all things. And this was really a short period of time. I mean, I'm talking within a couple, 3 to 4 years. My dad went from really not seeking God at all to seeking Him in everything. And I remember times we'd have conversations, because my wife and I bought the family business from him years ago, and so we shared an office at one point in time, and now we're in two separate offices. And he would come to me every morning when he was going through the season of his life, this transforming season. He'd come to me every morning, he'd always have a story for me. He'd always come to my office and say, "Hey, Matt, you got a second?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "You know what I'm noticing about this transformation?" He says, "I'm noticing how green the grass is." And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, "Dad, is that you? You know?" really, you're talking about how green the grass is? The grass has been green forever, you know? So, but you're talking about this. And he says, I also look at the trees and how the wind blows through it. Those are the things that were becoming important to him. He took the time to stop and see God's creation and who God really was. And God was speaking to him through those things. He said he was busy investing in all these things in life for 58 years of his life. And they really had no relevancy to God's kingdom. And when God started showing up and he really came into that relationship, things really became dear to him, like his family, like his marriage to my mom, the relationships he had in life, and his life in general. And his life to see that it's transformed. And there's some verses that I want to share with you this morning that really were impactful to him. The first one is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The ironic part of this is, you know, whenever I've prepared a sermon to deliver, it's just funny how God works. He never ceases to amaze me. We were in Bible study this morning, and there were several points, several things, and I don't even think Brent knows this, but you said that right there. That God is always with us. He'll never leave us, forsake us. And so God shows up and God knows the message that we need to hear. Every time. I can't tell you how many times I've prepared a sermon, I've done a sermon where you hear the verbiage going on and the communication going on, and the sermon actually is a part of what they're talking about. Things that God's given you. Even to the point where my dad, in his transformation, his language started to change. For the better, I might add. He would give me hugs. He would give us hugs, his children. I would see him be more affectionate. It was the most amazing thing, because my dad wasn't that way. Never said, I love you. Never said anything that had to deal with emotion and affection. It's work hard. Do the right thing. He would tell us he was so proud of us and he loved us. He would do dishes with my mom. That was not my dad. Just so you know. Am I kind of painting a little bit of a picture here? What my dad was like. He was also did laundry. He'd vacuum the floors. My mom was at the point where she's like, who are you? You know, and what's happening? Where's my husband? Because this isn't who I married, and this is who I haven't been married to for 45 years. And my dad just, you could tell that he just loved life. He'd go on walks with my mom every night, and he'd sometimes force her to go on walks. And he would actually come to my office the next day and tell me how wonderful the walks were. And so my mom started transforming in this. And my mom started understanding what was going on. And when he told me that the thing that held him back for so long was fear, he went on to say that it took his diagnosis to really make him face his fears. In his eyes, the way he looked at it, that he had no choice. This is his options, and there are very few. He couldn't control the situation. So in that process, and when he did, he found Jesus and the strength he had before that he thought made him a man and made him the self-made man. And you know what? It's a great personality trait. He had great work ethic. He's very responsible. He supported us kids in everything that we did, which kept him very busy, by the way, because there's a lot of us. But in his eyes, he had to make a choice. And those things in his personality, God used to actually accelerate his transformation as a son of God. when he knew that he was an heir to the throne of the Most High, that personality that he had accelerated his growth, and God used it in a very positive way in his life and in the life of the people around him, mine included. My father's story reminds me of what it must have been like the disciples when they encountered Jesus themselves. Here you got, I'm going to talk about Peter, James, and John just for a second. Here you got three of the main characters of the disciples who are kind of in Jesus' inner circle. They're hearing about this Jesus walking around the territory. And back then, everything was word of mouth. And so word was spreading that this Jesus was doing stuff. And Jesus, is in his journey, was looking for these guys, and I believe that he probably already knew who they were. He already pointed them out. He already knew what was going to go on. And so he comes up to Peter, and I can only imagine what was going on with Peter. There had to be, I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, but reading that scripture through Matthew 4, 18 through 22, this encounter that Peter has, and he's there with his brother, and Jesus basically walks by and says, "Hey, come follow me." Who does that? Again, who likes change? Was that changing for Peter to drop his nets as a fisherman and say, "Okay, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to drop everything that I know, everything that I'm about, because what I hear of you is good." And so then you go on to James and John, and they're sitting there with their father. Adds a little bit more pressure to the circumstance and situation. They're sitting in the boat fishing like they do, like fishermen do. And they're with their father. And Jesus walks by and goes, "Hey, throw down your net and come follow me." Now, if that's not change, I don't know what is. If that's not the Holy Spirit moving in a powerful way, I'm not sure else how to identify it, because these people gave up everything they had. I couldn't imagine thinking of my own personal life and my own journey that God is sitting there and he sends his son to cross my path and go, "Hey, come follow me." But you know what? He did. And we did. We laid down our lives. We said, "Lord, I want to do anything and everything that you have for me." So as I look at this, you know, one of my favorite verses, and as I was studying for this sermon, is change good? Is change good? In some ways, let's be honest, you know. And the good things in change, because I struggle with that at times. But I see God do things in people's lives, and I see he is gracious, he is loving, he is kind, he is trustworthy. Always having our best interest in mind. When I see that, I'm able to trust him more. Has been my journey. I see he wants us to change to who he is. And when I see that characteristic in him start becoming a part of who I am, not necessarily because I say it's there, it's because other people that I love and care for and I'm around see it in me. And isn't that what the journey is all about? Is that he who transforms, he who changes, he who lives in us now becomes the very product that others get to see. It's called ministry. That when we do ministry, we get to share what God has done in us first. And really, that's the basis of a testimony. When we share our testimonies, it's a powerful thing. Just like I did with my father's. And one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. It's a great verse. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What I saw in my dad's life was him being reconciled to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And as he did that, I saw a life that was totally transformed. One last story. About 12 years ago, my wife and I went to a conference, and I was kind of leaning, because I'd been coming over here since the early 80s to Baker City and surrounding areas, doing some hunting, doing some relaxing, doing some visitation to friends, and I started getting this sense that, you know what, Lord, you're wanting to move us to Baker City. And I kept it to myself because I wanted to really know that it wasn't a bad day or a bad lunch or a bad dinner or a bad breakfast or whatever the case might be. I kept it myself for time. And my wife and I went to a conference over in Bend, is where I was at, a church conference, and we were in the middle of worship, and I think I was like sitting over here someplace, and my wife was fellowshipping and worshiping over here someplace. And when worship was all done, we came together. And I looked at her and I said, I believe the Lord is moving us to Baker City. And she looked at me and goes, you know what, I think so too. Now, she agreed, but that doesn't mean she was ready. Okay? This is a whole new process, because she starts thinking about the things that have to happen before we get to go through this process. So we started talking about it, we started praying about it, we started asking close friends, we started the process to embrace this change. At the time, I owned the business I still own today, businesses, and in my mind, I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm going to sell the business. You know, that's my only option. How can you run it from 350 miles away, blah, 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 and Lord, instantly, nope. That's not going to be the deal. You're going to stay in it. And then panic starts in on me. You know, I start freaking out, saying, okay, Lord, well, that doesn't make sense to me, but you have this in control. I have to make the right decision. I've got to do this thing the right way. I've got to make sure that everything's taken care of. And in the process of taking care of it, I'm freaking out. Okay? So, as I'm freaking out, I hear this voice. And it's not this audible voice, it's more of something that how the Lord speaks to me. He starts turning something in my heart that goes, I don't care what you decide. You heard me correctly, I want you to go to Baker City, but you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, Lord, that makes no sense. There's a right decision and there's a wrong decision in this, so what are you going to do? And when he spoke that to me, though, what came over me was his peace, the understanding that surpasses what I have, and everything that I needed to go through that process of transition. Because remember, this is 2009, 2010. The economy wasn't the best. We had a house that we needed to sell in the midst of this process. And I'm like going, okay, Lord, if this is you, then you're going to take care of all this stuff. In 6 weeks, our house was sold. And within a year, we were moving to Baker City because we had found a house here. Our kids were at the age where the transition was really smooth. And God just did what God does. So all my anxiety through this process had been taken care of. All my questions answered. And I knew everything was going to be okay. Because Romans 8:28 is true. Right? We all know the verse. I don't need to read it. We know that Romans 8:28 is true. So what happens when we know that change isn't good because it's outside of our control? What do we do then? Does our relationship change? Do our questions change? I don't want to be sensitive to this, but just some thoughts. Changes like, my job goes away unexpectedly. A good to close friend chooses not to be a friend anymore. your spouse chooses not to be married to you anymore, or you lose your health, or your business fails, or comes upon hard times. Where is God's goodness in these changes? It's easy to be excited and enjoy life when everything's going great. But what happens when it's not? The questions I hear the most in these times are, is God with me? Does he really care? Does he truly love me? If so, why did this happen? Frequent questions I hear all the time. And they're true life questions. I don't have all the answers to some of those questions, to your situation, to your life. But I know the one that does. And I've walked with people through every one of these questions, experiencing some of them myself. What I do know is, and please hear me when I share this, because I saw it in my dad's life, I saw it in my life, and he is always with you. Amen. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And we serve a trusting God. We know that he is trustworthy of any situation that we might be dealing with today. He is bigger than anything we will ever face. He has given us victory and power over Satan. Amen. And he has given us wonderful, godly, spirit-filled people to help and walk through this journey with us. And that's the fellowship of the body of Christ. So he's really equipped us. So what gets to change? Us. And in that change, don't feel like you have to go at it alone. It's not your journey to go at it alone. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with us to go on this journey, this everlasting journey, just like with the disciples. Is what came out of the disciples' journey, what they did, how the word of God spread, how the information of Jesus, everything that they endured, was it good? Because Romans 8:28 has to be true. That all things work for the good. Right? Amen? So don't go at it alone. You have people around you that love you, that care for you, and they want the best for you. And they want to share in our burdens. One of the things that I can totally embrace today that I couldn't 10 years ago was the value of the people in my life. And including my wife. My wife and I's relationship has grown and changed. My kids' relationship has grown and changed. Wonderful people like the Schwinns, huge influences in my life when I was growing up, coming from a home that I came from. Wonderful people of God. Love them all dearly today, and they're so thankful. I'd never be grateful enough for his folks, Doug's folks, his brother, Doug, sister, Sonda, all them to be an influence in my life. You have no idea how that impacted me. So thank you and thank your family. Because God wants us to change. God wants us to embrace the things that he has for us. So if you do this for me, one more special event to end this is look to the person to your left or your right and say these words. We are on a journey. Will you be a part of my journey with me? Because God is good. All the time. Praise God, huh? Praise God. Yeah. Well, happy Mother's Day. It's been a true blessing and a true honor. Pat, I never knew our journey would look like it does today. You know, making faces across the basketball floor. But you know what? It's fun. I enjoy every minute of it. So, happy Mother's Day to you moms. What a blessing, what a day to have, to celebrate you, to celebrate the things you do, who you are, and who you get to do it with. Can I pray with you real quick to finish this? So Father, we do. We just thank you for this day. What a day of celebration. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the relationships that we have. Thank you for the people in our lives, mainly mothers. We praise you and give you the glory. Let this day be a blessing to us all in your precious name. Amen. Amen.